Blog Talk Radio.
This program is sponsored by P4P Muscle, the number one drug-free sponsorship in the world. If you are a drug-free athlete and are looking for a solid foundation to stand on, as well as a vehicle to drive your goals, check us out at P4PMuscle.com. And now let's talk. Happy Thursday, Natty Nation. I am Desiree Fletcher, and he is Kalen Patterson, and together we are P4P Real Talk. Thank you for joining us this evening. I don't know about you, but I have thoroughly been enjoying this mild winter December weather, so loving it. Can't say enough about it. When it's 54 to 58 degrees in December, you can't beat that. What do you think about that, Kalen?
I made sure to get outside, that's for sure. Well, the little bit of time we had, I've been doing 10-hour days.
Oh, my gosh. You've been burning the candle at both ends. So, yeah, it's good to
get out
and see the sun when you can. and I'm so happy to be back with you this week. Tell us a little bit about your show earlier this week, because if our friends weren't able to listen in on Tuesday, let's give them a little taste of what they missed so they can go check out our archives and get the full story.
Oh my goodness. The previous Tuesday I had the natural Olympia champ, Phil Ricardo Jr. And last Tuesday I had the second place fella, and his name was Martin Daniels. I called him the doctor of muscle density because he's just one of those people that just is just amazing on stage. And in life, and I've had the chance to stand next to that fella, and I'm telling you, it's some muscle maturity on that fella that would shame a lot of individuals.
Oh my! Well, for anyone who missed that show, I know it was a great one. So do go to blogtalkradio.com, look for P4P Muscle, and search the archives and check it out. And so earlier this week, Kalen was talking to who he calls the doctor of muscle density. And today we have a young lady who I like to call the Swiss Army Knife of Fitness. Her name is Leslie Franklin. She is like a Swiss Army Knife. She is into everything. Natural figure pro and powerlifter. She's a certified nutrition and wellness consultant. She's a certified personal trainer. She is coach and co-owner for Team Gorman. She's a Strong Gym sponsored athlete and First Form ambassador. You know, Leslie, I just can't say any more than that, but why don't you go ahead and give our listeners a little more insight into you, girl?
Hi. Hey, thanks for having me, guys. I don't know. You covered it all, really. I like your analysis of me. That's pretty awesome. That's funny. No, I just love fitness. I love helping people with their fitness. I love myself doing fitness. I've done it, gosh, as long as I can remember. You know, doing gymnastics growing up, and I mean, I think I started weight training when I was 16. In high school in the gym that. You know, had two pieces of equipment, but so I've done it my whole life. I love it. I've dabbled in some CrossFit lately, but yeah. So, I mean, that's me in a nutshell.
All right, pretty awesome. So, Leslie, not earlier this month, but last month we had a couple of shows where we called Mythbusters, and unfortunately, I wasn't able to be part of those. It made me very sad. But Kalen was there leading the charge, and we talked about just different misconceptions or different myths in the industry that are out there, and we were wanting to help shed some light in all of those areas. And tonight, we're hoping to do something similar, but we're going to approach it a little bit from the ladies' perspective. So we're going to have ladies' room plus Kalen. So, Kalen is always, and we love him, for that. So we're glad to have him, Lady Dream plus Kalen for Mythbuster. So we've been collecting some questions, and I know throughout your varied career, there's a lot of things that you're seeing too. And I have to imagine that one of the more common things that you hear, and I know that I hear all the time in my gym and that I see a lot in articles, is that weightlifting makes women look more masculine. Let's talk about that.
Yeah, that one's horrible. I hate that because it scares women. I mean, women are scared to look like a man, but we aren't built to look like men. We don't have the genetics. We don't have the hormones. We don't have any of that to actually look like a man. All it's going to do is make us have curves. You know what I mean? Like good, nice, feminine curves. I use myself as an example. Yeah. I use myself as an example. I mean, I have been working out, like I said, since I was 16. I mean, I weighed, the first show I ever did, figure competition, I weighed 103 pounds, and that was in 2007. And now, you know, 2015, my show weight was maybe 10 pounds up from that, 10, 11, 12 pounds up from that. I mean, and that's in the span of, you know, 7, 8 years. And I have trained extremely hard, you know, not just going into the gym and lifting a couple weights. You know, I train extremely hard to put on that much muscle, and that's not even that much in 8 years. So it's such a myth, and I hate that because women need to work out with weights, not just for looks, but, you know, our osteoporosis. As we get older, that is a huge factor for all women, and weight training helps build the bone density. Just strong muscles alone, as you get older, you know, you slip and fall, you can catch yourself better. So, it's a horrible myth, and even on like the weight loss side of it, you know, muscle burns more fat and calories. When you eat, your muscle burns that calorie, so you can eat more and not put on weight and that type of thing.
Yeah, and that's the fun part of it. And I think part of it is a misunderstanding of women have a misunderstanding of what it is that they actually want when they walk into the gym. Because a lot of times what I hear is, well, I just want to tone. I don't want to get big and bulky. And
right.
What they really want, they think they're going to get from cardio, and that's not true. If anything, cardio is going to, yes, it's going to help you drop weight, but it's going to elongate that muscle, and you are not going to get toned anything. If they really
right.
want a toned look, they have to build the muscle to give it shape and help
give
their body shape, you know, broadening of the shoulders, narrowing of the waist, you know, tightening of the glutes and the legs. I mean, all of those are things that come with strength training. And that's what toning is.
Right. And you look at it, I mean, you look at a marathon runner. A marathon runner is skin and bone, basically. You know, they're sticks. You look at a sprinter has muscle. And because they're doing more like weight training type exercise, and who, you know, what woman wants a flat booty?
Exactly.
You never heard
a hip hop song or a rap song about a flat booty. You never did,
right? Yep. You got to do some squats to make that booty perky. Running and doing cardio won't do that.
It sure won't. It sure won't. Gravity is not your friend. So you have to counteract that.
So true.
You have to counteract that phenomenon. So, ladies, if you're listening, it's just not physically possible for you to look like a man based on strength training. Now, if you want to enhance yourself anabolically, that's a different story, and that's a whole other discussion. But to be a natural, even if you're not an athlete, but to train naturally, it's not going to happen. So no worries there. Kaylin, I know that you've gotten some questions on your end. What's one that you want to share with Leslie?
Well, there's one from a good friend of mine named Nanette, and she had a question about, you know, being motivated when, you know, because you got the holidays coming up, there's a lot of reflection in the year, you know, a lot of things going on. And basically, you know, this is the time when most people don't want to be doing changes because they're doing a lot of self-reflecting, but they still need that change to happen because, you know, like most competitors know, spring is here before you know it, and competition season is upon us again. But for the just the person that's basically coming back to the gym, trying to get that mindset and trying to get that strength, because, you know, women catch it a lot more than men when they start losing the body fat and basically either start being pressured by family and friends to eat more and basically start, you know, having, you know, issues with food and, you know, basically sadness, or, you know, starting to change their body and feeling pressure from the family that they're starving. You know, how do you address that with women where they can keep that positive flow and that positive energy going?
Well, you know, it's your body. It's, you know, if you're happy with your body, you just have to just ignore what other people are saying. Being a competitor, I know exactly what you're saying because, I mean, my grandma, for one, grandmas are always that way, like, you're getting too skinny, you're getting too skinny. But you know what? She doesn't understand. The family don't usually understand what we're shooting for and what we're trying to do with our bodies. Competing, you know, is a whole different level, you know, compared to somebody that's trying to lose some weight. Competing, you know, you have to be super strict on your diet, and you can't eat out, and you can't have the home cooking and all that. And, you know, you have to really watch every little thing. But my regular clients that are just trying to lose weight and be healthy, it's all about moderation and portions and just watching what you eat. You know, don't sit down and eat an entire gigantic meal, you know, that you're served at a restaurant. You eat half, or you order something that fits your nutrition plan as closely as possible, even though it might not be exact. So you're still eating with friends and family. You're still enjoying that with them. You're just being more conscious about what you're putting in your body. So that's how I try to motivate my regular clients when it comes to family and friends.
Okay. And the next one is basically piggybacking off of that, and that's during the holiday season. You know, like you said, you are around family, and you do have to deal with the non-believers, is a good way to say it. And they really don't understand, and no matter what you do, you're going to be on drugs soon, and you're going to have to do bad things to your body to maintain that look. You know, and you know, you guys had talked about it earlier about, you know, women are going to start looking like men, which has always been a joke to me. How do you step in without stepping in and stepping on, you know, family relationships and the ties that bind, I guess?
Well, you know, I just have to explain to them, you know, what my goals are and my life's goals, I guess. You know, if they think I look like a man or I'm going to look like a man, I'm going to prove to them that I'm not, because it's,
yes,
you know, you're just going to look feminine, you're going to look lean, you're going to look healthy. You know, I just try to explain to them the best way I can what I'm trying to do. And usually, you know, if they're supportive, they're going to understand, and they're going to support you. You know, if you just sit down and explain to them, of course,
yes,
you need, of course, I guess you can kind of explain the way I just explained, where, you know, women just can't look like that unless they take, you know, some supplements to do that.
And
that's, I say, quote unquote supplements.
Quote unquote, like it.
Yeah,
like it. And to kind of tag on to what Kaylin was saying about the holidays, and I'm even going to take it a step further with the New Year's resolutioners, but I think one of the big myths out there is that I'm going to wait until January 1st, or even if you're a competitor, I'm going to wait until XYZ date, and then I'm just going to start training. And it seems to me that mentally and emotionally, you have not, you can't just turn on the training vibe like that. You can't just pick a date and then that date gets here and just think that you're going to be ready to go. I mean, this has to be something that you're planning for, you're preparing yourself for, and, you know, it's not about I'm going to turn it on this date. It's about I have this goal for myself, and so here's what I'm going to do to get that direction. I mean, would you agree, disagree? Do you come across people that think that, okay, in 2 weeks I'm going to get started and boom, they just get started and they're taking off, or they're just still procrastinating again week after week after week because they haven't done that mental preparation?
Yeah, you know, it's one of those things. There's no better time than now. If you keep putting it off and keep putting it off, it's never going to happen, you know. Start now. Don't wait. I mean, don't wait for the new year. Why not start now? Because even if you do start now and then the holidays are happening and the eating and the good food and all that, at least you're working that off. You know, you're not sitting there eating a bunch of food and then packing on the pounds while you're eating the food, and then you decide to start January 1st, well, you've already put on 5 pounds, and now you have to take it back off. Definitely start now. If it's a brand new person, you know, they might start going to the gym 3 days a week. Just start slow. Start at 3 days a week. You know, in a couple more weeks, add another day. Go 4 days a week. Next time, you know, in a couple more weeks, go 5 days a week. If they can't just, you know, jump in full force. You know, the nutrition part of it is so, I tell all my clients, this is a lifestyle change. This is not a quick fix diet. This is not something you're going to go on for 2 months or 3 months and lose 20 pounds and then go back to eating the way you used to. It's not going to happen because all that weight is going to come straight back on. So all my clients, I tell them, this is definitely a lifestyle change. You have to be able to make this your lifestyle. And with that being said, again, my regular clients, you know, I allow them to eat out when they want to with their family and their friends, but just to be conscious about what they're eating and just, you know, enjoy it, but don't overdo it.
Yeah, exactly. Would agree wholeheartedly with that, everything in moderation.
Yeah, for sure.
Kind of flipping the script a little bit and changing subjects, but another question that we had come in is if there is, or you know, a myth that there is, I guess the myth being that there is a different style of training for women versus a different style of strength training for men.
Good question.
Yeah, I laugh at that. What's that, Kaylin?
I said, good question.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I laugh at that. I mean, I laugh so hard at that because I go in the gym and I outwork some of the guys.
Huh?
Not going to lie. And, you know, there's nothing that women can't do that guys can. Yeah, they're going to be stronger than us. Yeah, this guy can, you know, deadlift 500 pounds, and of course I can't do that. But there's no reason for me to train differently or for a woman, period, to train differently than a man. There's just not. There's no physical reason why. And again, it's not like we're going to start looking like a man just because we train like a man. Our bodies don't have that capability. So there is absolutely nothing wrong with doing an exact same workout that a guy's doing.
And it's at that point, it's just more about progression. Our progression might be a little bit different, depending
right.
on your body
oh, yeah.
size and body type more than anything versus whether you're male or female. But that's more or less what it comes down to. It's just, you know, watching your progression, and this is for male or female, not overdoing it, not taking on more. I mean, if you're only lifting, you know, 60 pounds today or even 20 pounds today, don't come in tomorrow and think that it's going to be 75. That's not a natural progression of things. So.
Absolutely.
Gives everything into perspective. Kaylin, what's next on your list?
Well, there's one, and I'm sure that this is the perfect show for this question, and I'm so glad it had come up. It's about the mental accepting of the physical change for women, because for some, they're ready for that, and they're ready for everything that's going to happen, and they welcome, you know, every piece, nook and cranny of the body as it changes. And then there's some that move in fear because, you know, a good example would be, you know, where they say, you know, I'm losing my butt or I'm losing my boobs. And it's not really losing. You're gaining good health. And these were some of the things that you were holding on to that were basically taking away from that good health that you're chasing.
Yeah, you know, boobs are body fat. I mean, let's just put it plain and simple. You know, they're mostly body fat. And if you're going to lose body fat, if you want to get healthy and you want to get lean, you're going to lose body fat. And there's no way around it. I mean, of course, you can buy some if you want to do that. But yeah, it is hard for people to do that. But, you know, your health is so much more important, in my opinion. But you can still keep a good amount of body fat and still be healthy and still look good and be, you know, be happy with your body. It's all about what the individual wants and what they want their bodies to look like.
Well, that's true. And another thing I can say, just to piggyback and endorse what you're saying, is that, you know, I have yet to train a woman with the glutes and everything to where they see the change and realize, you know, this is so much more to what I want than what, you know, basically society had been accepting of me. Because it's really them at their best, and I think that's, it takes some time to soak in.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I agree. I mean, it's hard sometimes for them to realize that that's what they look like. Like, oh, my goodness, I really look like that? but it's a good thing. It is a good thing. And to jump back a little bit on the whole chest discussion, I mean, yes, there is the breast aspect of it. And then, you know, sometimes I hear, well, weightlifting is just going to make my chest big, meaning the actual, you know, width of the chest. And it's more about your shoulders and your back that they take on some shape and, you know, widen more. So it's not actually the chest. And what you're gaining is just a nice, strong-looking back, you know, rounded shoulders, which in the end of the day are going to give you a more tapered look for the quote-unquote, you know, more of the hourglass figure that, you know, women seem to think that we want anyway.
Right.
So, I mean, again, you lose some in one area maybe, but you're going to gain it in another area, but it still works together just to make a nice physique at the end of the day.
Right.
At least in my opinion. So,
yeah, the bigger your back is, the smaller your waist looks. And who doesn't want that? Who doesn't want
that? Yeah,
exactly.
Dudes. Kaylin. No, dudes want small waist too. We know they do.
Oh,
you know they do. You're not fooling anybody. and we're going to have real talk. Let's be real. You're not fooling anybody. Dudes like narrow waist too. So along those lines, though, of, okay, so we debunked that women shouldn't train like men. We're not even really sure what that means. There really is no such a thing. But another one, what? Right? So another one is that women shouldn't take some of the same supplements of men, primarily like creatine. What's that all about?
Oh, well, that's totally false. I mean, I know there used to be
a myth that creatine was like a steroid, and that creatine's going to make you huge. Well, it's not. First of all, creatine is found naturally in meat. So your red meat, they have creatine in it, and it's found naturally in red meat and different sources of protein. It's just all creatine does, it helps you recover. It pushes water into the muscle, which actually helps your muscles recover faster. So that's all it does. It's not bad for women. It's not going to make us look like men. It's not going to make us our muscles grow huge amounts. It doesn't even make you put on weight. You know, a lot of people are like, oh, when I take creatine, I put on tons of weight. Well, no, you don't. You know, you might hold a tiny bit of water in your muscles for that recovery, but it's not. It's just water. It's not muscle weight. It's not, you know, bad weight of any kind. I have all my women clients. I do myself. I take everything that we recommend for guys. You know, amino acids, branch chain amino acids. I have all my women taking those, whey protein, the creatine, of course. You know, I take it, all my women take it, my women athletes and my non-athletes. It's just for muscle recovery. That's the main focus on that. And who doesn't want your muscles to be recovered faster, right?
Yeah,
exactly. Be less stiff a little bit sooner.
Can I jump in?
You can jump in. Yep. Go ahead.
Okay. Now, I have Leslie's a trainer, so she knows what I'm about to say. There's a lot of people that do a lot of lip service when training, where they make it sound like they're doing everything possible, but they're basically screwing up along the way. And a lot of the myths that have been put into the gym system, sadly, is the people that really weren't given 100%, and they look for somebody to blame, whether it be the diet, the training, or the gym itself, the gym facility. It's never the person that really dropped the ball, you know, whether it be, like when Leslie was talking about the creatine, if you're not drinking, you know, the right amount of water, of course you're going to be sick, because, you know, if you don't eat enough food, you're not going to have the energy. There's all kinds of something that's going to mess up the system if you're not doing it correctly. And a lot of times it falls on the trainer or the diet or the gym or the sleep or whatever. It's going to be somebody else that blew it up, and it's never my fault. And, you know, Leslie, could you speak on that? Because I know women, like I said, because the physical image is a lot more, I can't think of the right word for it, but it just affects women more with that self-image. So they have to do more, it seems, in defense when they screw it up.
Well, yeah. I mean, obviously there's a million and one ways to skin a cat, right? I mean, one trainer might do it one way. One trainer might do it another way. A gym, you know, might tell a member to do things a certain way or another way. If you follow your program, no matter what it is, you know, you can't go wrong.
Yes.
And you have to follow a program. You have to follow something. You have to stick with it. You have to be dedicated to it to make things happen and to make your body the way you want it, to make your body look the way you want it, to lose weight, gain weight, whatever it may be. You know, you have to stick with it. And it's not a short-term thing either. You know, I've talked about that earlier, but if it doesn't happen in a month, I mean, that's fine. Keep pushing. If you stop, then it's not going to happen, period. You know, if you keep going and keep pushing, eventually it's going to happen. To blame somebody else for, you know, not getting where you want to be, I mean, that's just crazy, because you are your own person, you know. And if you're not pushing yourself in the gym, and if you're not doing what you're supposed to do on your nutrition plan, then no, you're not going to get where you want to be.
Exactly.
Very true. I want to take this in a little bit
different direction and talked about something that's more closely related to competing and getting on stage. And that is when it comes to water. We see a lot of times, we hear a lot of times about athletes totally dehydrating themselves before they get on the stage or for weeks before they get on the stage because they feel like they haven't lost enough weight, they haven't, you know, this, that, or the next thing. But whatever, you know, is going on with them, water somehow ends up being the crux of the problem. Talk to us about that from a coaching perspective.
Well, you know, water is the key to your entire body. You know, your body's made up, I can't even remember the percentage, but mostly water. You know, you take that water out, your body's going to fail you. Your electrolytes are going to be off balance. You're actually going to hold water from cutting water. I know that sounds crazy, but you're going to hold water. You know, people cut water and do these drastic things to look a certain way on stage when they're just not lean enough. Plain and simple, they need to lose more body fat. It has nothing to do with water. We keep water in for all of our clients all the way up until stage. You know, they're drinking water the day of their shows because you need that water to fill your muscles out. You know, you cut water, your muscles go flat. You hold water in your muscles, and usually a lot of people will do carb ups before they go on stage. Well, if you're eating all these carbs but you don't have any water, the carbs don't have any way to go into your muscle. You know, water is what puts the carbs in the muscle. So you're just going to look flat, and you're going to cramp. You know, a lot of people will take out salt, too. Well, you take out salt and you take out water, you've got this electrolyte imbalance, and you start cramping, and it's just not a pretty picture at all. I have all my people drink, they're drinking at least 3-4 liters a day on competition day. And even the day before, they're drinking water just to keep that flowing and keep the carbs pushing in the muscle and keep their muscles full. Even bikini girls, you know, they, even though, you know, they don't have to have that full, super lean look, they still need to have the water and the fullness to their muscle. They're just not as lean. So I even have them keep drinking water.
Oh, my goodness,
It is very important, and that's definitely one that I see, so I wanted to get out there. I mean, some of this, to our listeners, may seem very basic, like, yeah, we knew this. Why don't you come up with a myth that we didn't know? But for as many people that do know some of these things, there are at least two more that don't. So,
yeah, exactly.
You know, we're still trying to talk to, you know, the masses, and maybe we'll still hit on a few things that are, you know, our veterans were like, oh, yeah, I had forgotten about that, you know, type things, but maybe not. But while we're talking about, so I was asking about water specifically to competing, but there's also a lot of, I don't know, different thoughts about what the journey to the stage should be. And I know that's one question that I want to get into. But before we get too far down the road with that, Kaylin, I definitely don't want to leave you out of this. Do you have something for Leslie before we start down this next track?
Yeah, but I'm just basically piggybacking what you were talking about, and it's, you know, we keep saying a lot of things that are similar, but it's just a little bit more in depth as we learn. But the biggest thing we're fighting right now is tradition, because a lot of the things that, you know, there's 100 things my family knows just from watching me do, but that doesn't mean that they're going to do it right now. I give you a good example. It's been 7 years since I've been fully dedicated to not drinking alcohol, not screwing my life up, and just, you know, really focused on good health and fitness. And in those 7 years, I finally got my mom to take a multivitamin.
Congratulations,
so,
by the way.
Yeah, so you're talking about 7 years. and I got my mom to take a multivitamin. But, you know, it's like it's we're talking about creatures of habit learning what we know and live and breathe. But because it's so ingrained, it takes steps. Like, when the people are all in, they can change everything right now. But if it's somebody that's reluctant, it takes time. And so, you know, when we keep harping on the same thing, even the people that are nodding their head are going to the gym and going back to their old habit. And then after a while, they say, you know, oh, yeah, you know. So then it starts dawning, hey, I can do different. I'm not stuck in that same rut. That's what I want to talk about.
Okay, very good.
Yeah,
very good.
It takes willpower, you know. Some people, if they don't want it, then no matter what you say isn't going to change their mind. They have to want it to do it. And like your mom, you know, my parents kind of go the same way. I've talked to them a million times about nutrition and changing their diets and being healthy. And it's sunk in a little, a little bit over time. But, you know, they have to want it to make it happen. And it's just like, you know, even competitors and even, you know, regular clients wanting to lose weight, they have to want it to make it happen. No matter what you tell them, you can harp on them constantly, but if their mind's not in the right place to do it, then it's just not going to happen.
Exactly.
Plain and simple. I mean, all you can do is stay positive and keep pushing it, and then eventually it'll sink in and it'll happen. But that's as far as it goes. You know, you just have to keep pushing it.
Amen.
And keep pushing it. We do. And actually, that's a pretty good segue back to the topic I was making before we kind of branched off a little bit, and that's the journey to the stage, and maybe just some misconceptions about what that whole process is like. Because the first part of it, like you said, is A, you have to want it. It's got to be something that you want from start to finish. And you're going to have your own reasons to get there, but, you know, that's kind of the first step. It's not just like, oh, okay, you know, I'm going to, for some people it is. They're just like, I'm going to do this, and they jump on stage and they do great. But it's something a little bit more than that. So what are some other, I mean, even in your own personal journey, in your coaching clients, other sponsored athletes, what are some of the misconceptions that you're seeing out there on just the whole process of getting to the stage?
Right. Well, you know, like you said, you have to be 100% ready. You have to be 100% dedicated to it. And, I mean, you have to be all in. Not half in, half out, not one foot in, one foot out. You can't be that way when it comes to competing. It has to be 100%. I know some girls will say, well, I'm thinking about it. But if you don't know for sure and if you're not ready, don't do it. Because it can ruin your life. I know that sounds horrible, but it can. Because it's very difficult to get that lean. For most women, you know, our bodies don't want to be lean. Our bodies aren't made to be that lean all the time. It's not, period. They're not made to be that lean. We're supposed to have body fat. So it's tough. And I tell all my girls, you have to be prepared to hurt, first of all, you know, because, I mean, that sounds horrible, but our bodies, like I said, our bodies don't want to be lean. So it takes time. It takes a lot of work to get as lean as you need to be to get on stage. So I tell my girls to do their research, read some stories from other competitors and their journey and see what they say and see if they like it and if they didn't like it. And be prepared, you know, be prepared to make sacrifices. You know, you can't go out and eat every day with your family. I mean, you can go and sit and have a diet soda and a salad or something, you know, but you can't do these things that you used to be able to do if you're going to get lean enough to get on stage.
again, you know, it's one of those things where it depends on how much body fat you have too. I tell my girls to make sure to have leave enough time. You know, if you have 20 pounds to lose to get on stage, we need to have 20 weeks to work to get there. Because you don't want to do it unhealthy. You know, you don't want to lose 2 to 3 pounds a week because that's just not healthy. You want to shoot for a pound a week to maintain your muscle too, of course, because figure, bikini, bodybuilding, physique, all of them are based on muscle, and you've got to have muscle. So if you're trying to lose 2 to 3 pounds a week, you're going to be losing muscle along with that. So take it slow, take it slow and steady. And, you know, of course, slow and steady wins the race. Everybody's heard that before. But also, another thing is to, before you start a prep, before you start a dieting phase, you have to have your calories up. You know, a lot of women will come to me and say, I want to start a cutting phase, and I want to get ready for a show in 12 weeks, and I'm eating 1,200 calories. Nope, sorry. Not going to happen. You know, you have to be eating a good amount of food to start and have your metabolism in a good place before you even start a prep, because otherwise you're just going to run yourself into the ground, and you probably won't even get to where you need to be because your calories will have to be too low, and you're going to hate yourself. You're going to feel like crap, and who wants that? So a lot of girls, if I bring them on, I actually will have to reverse diet them for a while and get their calories up and get the metabolism healthy before I can even start to think about dieting them. But here, another myth, you know, that I hate is people think that they need to eat 800 calories a day and do 2 hours of cardio a day or, you know, something like that to get to stage. No, you shouldn't have to do that. If you are having to do that, something's wrong. You know, you probably didn't start with your calories high enough. Your metabolism was probably already in the crapper. So if you have to do that and go that route, you need to pull the plug. There's no competing, because all that's going to do is ruin you. You're gonna maybe not even get to stage, and if you do get to stage, you're going to have a rebound horrible rebound. You know, you've seen people 20 pounds in just a couple weeks that they put on after a show. So yeah. I just make sure everybody's mentally prepared for the sacrifices that it takes, but also physically prepared with their metabolism and their food and all that.
Yep. And I mean, and as you're saying, you know, if you're not there, then it's not going to happen. But the kind of silver lining I want to put on that is it's just not going to happen right now. You just need to take a step backward before you're ready to go forward. So it can still happen. But like any responsible coach, like you said, it needs to happen in the right way.
Correct. Sorry. Yeah, and, exactly. I'm glad you said that, because that's 100% true.
Yeah.
You know, it might not happen this year. We will fix it and make it happen next year, you know.
Yep. And just because 6 of your girlfriends are doing a show and they're like, come on, you can do it with us, you'll be ready. No, that doesn't mean you're going to be ready. It doesn't mean your body's going to react the same. So, you know, do what's best for you, and invite your girlfriends to come to that next show with you instead of trying to be where they're at. You know, everybody have a plan to get to the same place together. So,
absolutely. And I never, with most of my clients, I don't even let them pick a show until they're ready. You know, I don't want to set them up for failure where they pick a show that's, say, 20 weeks out, they pick a show, and for some reason their body doesn't respond for a few weeks in there, they have plateaus, which happens all the time. You know, so if they're not ready, I don't want them to feel like a failure. So I just wait usually about, you know, 6, maybe even 4 weeks out. So, I mean, I may decide at 8 weeks out, okay, you're going to be ready, your body's responding great, let's find a show. But usually I don't even let them pick a show until they're way closer.
Very, well, and hey, that's a great perspective, a way to look at it. And there are plenty of coaches out there that don't. A lot of times it is backwards. It's I pick the show and I train for the show, but you're saying let's go ahead and train and then we'll pick the show.
Yeah.
So
exactly.
I like that a lot. And we are to the part of the show that I always hate the most, and that's the end.
Aww.
I know.
Aww.
Because you have just, fun. We've just covered so many, it has been fun. We've covered so many great topics, and I hope that we have definitely put some nuggets out there for people to think about, for them to do their own research about, for them to go back to their coaches and discuss, you know, just tools to arm them and help them be better athletes altogether. So as we are wrapping
stay
up
healthy.
Here, yes, and stay healthy. Kaylin, mm-hmm. do you have any final questions for Leslie?
Yes, I do. And this is for, you know, the women who are, I want to say all in, but the significant other isn't. What piece of advice can you give them to where they can still have that stable foundation to where they can see that trip to stage successful?
Man, that's a rough one. That's a tough one. It really is, because John and I both have actually been in that situation and have both lost significant others because of competing. And honestly, if your significant other is not on board, then honestly, I wouldn't do it. I hate to say that, but if it's going to be either competing or your marriage, pick your marriage. You know, because it's not worth it. It really isn't. If it's going to cause too much headbutting and too much drama and too much, I mean, if it's going to end in the relationship ending, then it's just not worth it. You know, it's just stage. It's just competing. It's not life. It's not life or death. I mean, there's other things you can do. Like I do in my off season right now, I do powerlifting. And that, you know, you can still have a life. You can still eat at restaurants and you can still live your life outside of food and training and be healthy still. And, you know, that's what I choose to do in my off season, so I can have more of a life and enjoy the things, you know, the my mom's cooking. So honestly, that, I mean, that's my opinion. If somebody doesn't like it, I don't know. But yeah, I would say pick your marriage.
Well, hey,
okay,
and that's,
thank you.
I mean. Yeah, and that's a strong. I mean, that is a tough one. There really is no right or wrong, because there are different reasons, different scenarios. And at the end of the day, you're right. It is a life choice, and it's got to be the one that has the biggest dividends or the most benefits for you. And that's just a person by person decision that they have to make. So,
it is a very
real thing.
Yeah, some people, you know, when they're dedicated, they're 100% dedicated and there's no gray area. You know, John and I have actually figured out a way to compete and live our lives and enjoy it. And we figured that out. So if you can figure that out and your significant other doesn't have to suffer with you, then that's great. That would be the optimal answer there.
Yeah, definitely. And it's not just, I mean, to Kaylin's question, it's not just about competing. I've seen several wives, and you know, it mostly always is the wife who comes in and who wants to better herself, but even with just a membership or, you know, just exercising, not even competing, but they're hiding it from their husband. They're either wanting to pay for it out of a different account so he can't see it, or just paying cash so he doesn't see it. And to me, that's a very sad thing,
that
no spouse would ever support, you know, no husband would ever support his wife enough for her to be healthier so she can be better for not only herself but the rest of the family. But it is a real thing that's out there. And again, it's
It is just a case-by-case, a person-by-person decision. I will never fault any woman for, you know, people say, well, she's going behind her husband's back. Well, if it's going to increase her health so she can be a better wife, mother, friend, then I don't fault her for doing that. But then again, I also don't necessarily fault her for not, if it's going to cause that great big, you know, that much of a conflict. It's
absolutely,
it's a really
absolutely.
Tough thing. All right. Thanks, Kaylin, for helping us end on such a somber note. But no, but no, seriously. It is a hard
yeah.
one. And I'm glad that you brought it up. I'm glad that you brought it up because it
Definitely.
Is something that should be
I mean,
talked about. And, you know, ladies just need to know that whatever you choose, you know, depending on your situation, it's probably right. So, you know, that's about all I can say about that. But with that being said, let's have a positive uptick. So, Leslie, if there were, like, two things that you definitely wanted to share with our listeners and have them walk away with tonight, what would they be?
Oh, man. Gosh, health is number one. You know, stay healthy. No matter what you're doing, competing, you know, just anything, just stay healthy. Think about your health and your health first. And that's number one. I mean, that's always number one. Work out hard, you know. Push yourself to the limit, you know. Push yourself as hard as you can, you know, without hurting yourself, obviously. Because that's where you meet your goals. You have to push yourself, and you have to be dedicated. And that's probably number three is just stay dedicated. You know, try to keep your willpower up. Stay dedicated. Stay motivated, and it'll happen. You know, with the new year coming up, talked about that. That's the main thing where you see people come into the gym January 1st and they're gone by mid February.
Yep.
You have to stick with it and stay dedicated, and it will happen.
Okay.
Well, I just want to say thank you so much, Leslie, for sharing your time with us, for sharing your thoughts and your experiences. We've loved every minute of it. Just real quick, you're in the off season right now, you're powerlifting. Is there anything that you're training towards coming up in 2016?
Well, I actually, it's funny, just I think yesterday I found out about a meet at the gym that I train at, and it's February, tentatively February 27th. So that's, I'm going to shoot for that meet. And then go from there. You know, as far as powerlifting, it's definitely going to be a year of powerlifting for me. Then probably in 2000.
Love that shoulder.
What's that?
I said, love that shoulder.
Yeah, my boulder shoulder picture. That was just crazy. Yeah, so I, you know, figure. I love figure, but I have to grow. I'm pretty small. My upper body, my shoulders and stuff are pretty small compared to my legs. So 2 years of off season so far, my first year has been good. I'm into my second year now, and I'm going to take the rest of the year and still keep working on growing my upper body. And then I'll probably be back on stage in 2017. So that's my plan for now. You know, I have no set shows or set dates or anything, but That's the plan.
Well, it sounds like a good one, and we will definitely be watching for you and cheering for you on whatever front you're participating in, powerlifting or on the stage as a figure competitor. So,
thank you
on
so
behalf,
much.
You are so welcome. On behalf of Leslie, Kaylin, myself, and P4P Muscle, thank you for joining us. If your body is a temple, let's build it.